much of the time run with the spring rains from the other day. And we are on the road. Perhaps we are like Mary Magdalene, grieving the loss of our beloved, come to the grave, but there he appears, and she believes without hesitation. She is the first to believe in most of the accounts. She is the most faithful, and maybe we are like her. We believed from the beginning and have no doubt about the new story. We accept the power of love over death, and in the midst of pain, we choose love, and in the midst of war, we choose peace. Or perhaps we are like Simon Peter in the account of John at the lake. Peter is a complicated character in the text. He's important, he's very important, but he sometimes needs a little extra help to get it. In this story, Jesus has already appeared to the disciples, but he comes again the next day. Helping them find fish reminds us, of course, of his feeding of the 5,000 and of when the disciples were afraid on the lake, but he calmed the storm. And Peter, oh, Peter, he wants to show his faith so very badly. Unlike Mary, who just does what needs to be done and doesn't make a fuss about it, he has to show off. So while the others take the boat back to shore, he puts on his clothes. Why he is fishing without clothes, I don't really know. And he swims to shore. He's got to be first. He's got to be first. That's Peter for you. Or maybe we're like the soldiers who take the priest's money and stay quiet about what has happened. We agree to the fiction, to deny the power of what others have seen and to keep the peace of the empire. Let's all just get along. Don't make a fuss. Don't disturb the powers that be. So they take the money. Or maybe we're one of the chiefs who pays the bribe. Or maybe we're just a bystander, a worker in the vineyard, watching and observing, but pretty sure this doesn't really matter to us. Empires come and go, and prophets come and go, and messiahs come and go, and what's one more? Or perhaps we are like Thomas. The story, the incredulity of Thomas, appears only in the Gospel of John. It happens just before the finding of the fish at the lake. So we didn't read that section this morning, but you probably remember it, most of you. Jesus, after appearing on the road, joins the disciples in an upper room, and they are amazed to see him. But Thomas arrives a little late, and he says, "I don't believe that you are real. Unless I can see and touch and see the wounds in your hands and put my finger through the wounds, I don't believe." So Jesus says, "Go ahead." Thomas inspects. There are great Renaissance pictures of Thomas looking at all of the wounds, and he believes. And then Jesus contrasts the faith of Mary and the other disciples who believed right away with doubting Thomas. That's where the phrase comes from, doubting Thomas. But most of us Unitarians have a strong affinity with Thomas, don't we? We are unlikely to believe unless we can inspect matters for ourselves. We want to make our own study. It's Thomas, really, who is the patron saint of skeptics. And Thomas is my guy, all the way. I know that in the story, Jesus reprimands Thomas for his caution, but that's just the way that I am. I'm too wired to look out for charlatans to just leap most of the time. I am reassured, however, and I think this is really important, that when Jesus appears at the lake, and remember, that happens after the upper room, Thomas is included. He's not cast off because he took his time to inspect. I think this matters. So maybe you feel like Thomas too, and you are wondering, just like he did, why does this matter? What are we doing? So what? What does it matter what folks said happened 2,000 years ago? What are we to take from this in our time? I love the words of Clarence Jordan. "The proof that God raised Jesus from the dead is not the empty tomb, but the full hearts of his transformed disciples. Not a rolled away stone, but a carried away church." It isn't about what happened 2,000 years ago. Here's the point. The story of how different people reacted to the resurrection of Jesus is a guide to how we might ourselves react to the power of love and peace. Where there is pain, can we choose love? Where there is war, can we choose peace? This is the point. Not then, now. And not about whether we believe in Jesus, but about whether we believe in his teaching to fiercely love everyone, to proclaim the forgiveness of sin and the unity of love. That's the question, the wider thing to which he pointed. When the Unitarians celebrated communion in 1840 and in 1890 and in 1937, when they wrote the communion we celebrated today, that's what it was about. Religion not about Jesus, but about the teaching of Jesus and about, as it says, all the prophets of love. So there you are, on the road. This road, right now, here. A road in the midst of pain, can you choose love? A road in the midst of war, can you choose peace? Do you believe despite your grief? Are you enthusiastic, maybe even a little too enthusiastic? Do you take the bribe to stay silent? Do you need proof, but still assent when the time comes? Or do you stand back and think, this is someone else's job? Clarence Jordan was a white man who was troubled by the gap between the teachings of his faith and the practice of segregation around him. He was born in 1912 in rural Georgia. How can we say we believe in Jesus and yet treat our siblings with such violence? He was troubled as a young man. He founded Kiwanis Farms, a multiracial community, and Habitat for Humanity was birthed from there. Quoting from my colleague, Carl Gregg, who blessedly pointed me toward Jordan as a source for wisdom, Carl wrote, "From the beginning at the farm, they had put racial equity into practice by inviting the workers on the farm to eat together, regardless of race. This choice quickly spurred the local Ku Klux Klan into action. There were many caustic encounters with local racist residents, and one of his favorite questions to ask them was, 'Your choice seems quite clear. It is whether you will follow your granddaddy or Jesus Christ.'" Clarence Jordan also published a version of the New Testament in which he reimagined Jew and Gentile as white and Negro. This is 1945, 1950, rural Georgia. And he made other changes to apply the teachings of Jesus and the prophets directly to his times. It wasn't about 2,000 years ago, he said, it was about today. He also changed all the places it said crucifixion so that it would read lynching. Here's what he wrote about that. "Our crosses are so shined, so polished, so respectable that to be impaled on one of them would seem to be a blessed experience. I have instead translated it as lynching. Well, aware that this is not technically correct, Jesus was officially tried and legally condemned, elements generally lacking, a lynching. Pilate at least had the courage and the honesty to publicly wash his hands and disavow legal responsibility. See to it yourselves, he told the mob, and they did. They crucified him in Judea, and they strung him up in Georgia with a noose tied to a pine tree. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of war, I choose peace." That song with the choir sang was composed after the murder, the lynching by gun of 9 worshipers at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Not surrender. Not lay down and take it. Jesus did not acquiesce to the empire. "Oh, I guess I'll go back to carpentry and forget the whole thing." But in the end, he said, "Forgive them." Forgiveness is not acquiescence. In the midst of pain, choose love. In the midst of war, choose peace. Not 2,000 years ago. Now. Be on the road. travel alongside the teacher. Maybe you recognize her walking there, and maybe not. She explains things, and you listen. Open your mind and your heart. Listen. You may discover truth. In these stories, how is it that the disciples recognize Jesus? In each of them, he breaks bread with them, as we have done here. The breaking of bread, the sharing of wine, the remembering of this story is done to recall unto our hearts the living presence of the question at stake, to remind us that it is we who walk on the road. It is we who believe despite our grief. It is we who jump into the lake. It is we who take the bribe to stay quiet. It is we who offer the bribe. It is we who must be convinced and test it for ourselves. It is us now. We must decide to rise. When our world falls down, will we rise? That is what we have been doing, isn't it? Our world fell down, or better said, some of us who were sleeping woke up, and we've been rising. We've been choosing love and peace, not quietude, not that. We've been turning over the tables and proclaiming the kingdom of love without fear or favor and learning to rise. And this is true in every season, whether we are paying attention or not. We must choose. We are on the road right now, and we must choose how we shall live. We must choose to practice resurrection. We must choose to awake again. Awake to the injustice of the empire, the truth of pain, the midst of war. We awake and we choose. We choose to reject the bribe. We choose to share the bread. We choose to love everyone without exception. We choose to come fully awake. We choose to sing Alleluia. We choose for dirges instead to anthems raise. We choose peace. We choose love. May it be so. This Easter and every Easter, this day and every day. Amen. 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 Let us sing together.
Thank you.
I'll extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These things we carry with us until we are together again. And while I do that, I invite you, if you wish, to join hands or stand near the people next to you for our blessings. The Unitarian minister Clark Dewey Wells wrote, "God of Easter and infrequent spring, announce the large covenant to deceitful lands, drive the sweet liquor through our parched veins, lure us to fresh schemes of life, rouse us from tiredness, self-pity, wet us for use, fire us with good passion, restore in us the love of living, bind us to fear and hope again." We'll sing together our closing blessing, "Go Your Way in Peace." We'll sing it through twice.